Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvetti and my co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hello, good evening.
And we have a very exciting show for you. I'm going to give you the call-in numbers tonight. I'm going to ask if you can to kind of hold the call-ins until we kind of get through the material. In the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-810-8322. International Direct, 530-876-3222. And if you missed the numbers, they're on the homepage of bbsradio.com. Tonight we have a very interesting subject, the healing of sexual guilt and shame.
Oh boy, that's a big one.
It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really interesting, and I want to kind of set the tone on a couple of things. For all of you who are listening for the first time tonight, the energies will come directly into your home, loving, healing energies. And I, again, would say to you, only if you grant permission. What's going on is that in a couple of weeks, I'm not certain when, we're going to do another sacred dispensation. Now, we did one in December, or two of them, actually, and that was about forgiveness of self. Sent people into a lot of process, and now we're very much focusing on the lifting of shame.
Hmm.
And so this next sacred dispensation is going to be lifting of shame. It'll probably be over two shows. The shows will be done in full channel. The energies will be definitely very ramped up. Shame is something, Veronica, as you know so well, that you can process it, but you can't lift it.
Hmm.
And as a society, as a race, we are shame-based, unfortunately. So in all the work that we've been doing through the sessions with the lifting of shame and really taking people back and to specific situations and literally kind of reaching in and lifting this out, they tend to take me on kind of a treasure hunt, Veronica.
Oh, really?
Yes, they do. And so this subject came up this week, and it started out with someone asking me about porn. And, it was a fairly benign question, but it was actually pretty loaded.
Hmm.
And this person had an issue with porn. Their fiancé was watching porn, and it had them very upset. They were looking to create what they considered to be a sacred union.
Hmm.
And so the question was posed to me, would you want to be with someone or marry someone that watched porn? And I, without even hesitating, I said, well, no, not really. And then I had to stop and think about it. So I started making some phone calls and asking women, and I kind of went to the an archetype in terms of women who were with very powerful, financially powerful men. Because as an archetype, you know, that's kind of the conqueror, the king, the, you know, if we go back to the gladiators, to the, you know, this has gone on forever, the raping and pillaging and so on and so forth. And so I said, okay, if they're running big power, and I know that there's a lot of sexual energy that comes with being running big power in business.
Right.
So I called some of the people I knew who have either been married to or are married to very powerful men, and I said, okay, you know, does your man, your partner, whatever, watch porn? And the answers I got were really interesting.
Hmm.
And so that really set, and the answers were yes. And one of them said, well, when I met him, he did, and so I didn't make a big deal about it. And I just, over time, just kind of got rid of everything. And I said, okay. And I kept them entertained. And I said, all right, well, this is definitely something worth exploring. And it's not just about powerful men. It's about all men. And, you know, I know women that watch porn. And so I was curious about what's going on for us as a race, and specifically in the United States. And so I started asking a lot of different people and really looking at it. In the meantime, We had an extraordinary experience here in Las Vegas with a very famous Catholic church, one that's pretty much in the public eye here in town, and a priest that's been on the national news who beat his assistant with a wine bottle, who's a female, beat her over the head, drug her down the hallway by her hair. She passed out, woke up with him on her, fondling her. She managed to escape before he could kill her, actually, because he said he was going to, and he is now on the run. He's been spotted in California. And, of course, since that time, the priest that was in this particular parish, prior to the one that's on the run, there had been about six different claims filed for children that had been molested by this priest. Now, this is not, I want to clarify here, this is not against the Catholic Church or anything else. This is really about suppression of sexuality and what I'm seeing happen on the planet. The porn industry is so big, and anybody that's got a spam folder certainly has porn in their spam folder, or, you know, ads for porn. So I started looking at it from a broader perspective, and I said, why is porn becoming so prevalent? And of all the things that are coming up in the news, Veronica, and to all of you listening out there, about children. You know, we're seeing so much now about child porn, about horrible things happening to children, people being sold into slavery. I'm seeing this as a huge, you know, signal that something is very much out of whack.
Right.
And so I started talking to many people, people in the fashion industry, people kind of all over, saying, okay, what are you seeing and why? Well, we know that, young girls now are dressing in a way that there really is nothing left to the imagination.
Right.
The low-rise, you know, Levi's are, you know, as my girlfriend said, you have to shave your Karl Minuch, which is what they call it in Lebanese, to even wear them. And then I found out about young people, and they do something called GETS, G-E-T-S. And this is a group of young people that will get together when the parents aren't around, with their friends, and they put porn in the television.
How young, Jackie?
Anywhere from 14 to 20,
okay,
and older. And what they're doing is they're, as a group, watching porn, and they'll pair up and just kind of get up and go in the bedroom, have sex, come back, and continue to watch the porn. No guilt, no shame, no judgments within their peer group.
But is a lot of them doing this?
Yes, quite. Yes, very much so. So there's even a Friends episode that the two of the boys, you know, lucked into a porn channel, and they're afraid to turn it off because they got it illegally. So the whole cast is moving in and out of this apartment, and they're actually humming the music, which is always very mundane on pornographic films. And, but I'm seeing it as a desensitization, okay, because that pendulum has swung so far in the other direction. So, as I see this desensitization, as I see this extreme exposure to sexuality, and young people who are doing it with no guilt and shame, okay, within their own peer group. Now, that doesn't mean that parents aren't still trying to guilt and shame them. So I started looking at myself, and, you know, I have a, you know, the middle finger represents sexual anger, or anger around sexuality.
Oh, it does. I didn't realize that.
Yes, and I have, or have had, up until I got this all done, a very sore middle finger with no reason for it. So I had to look at myself and say, well, what, why am I angry about sexuality? Well,
so what is your middle finger like, to tell you that?
It's just very sore. It's sore at the joint.
Oh,
and there's
okay.
No, absolutely no reason for it, and I don't get sore of joints. I don't have anything sore.
Okay.
So I was trying to figure out, you know, this is obviously a signal. It's something I need to look at. It fits into kind of this whole thing. In my case, I realized, and I did, you know, a lot of, you know, looking within me, that in my life, because I am such a sexual being, and that I had fear around being controlled with sexuality because I was afraid I would lose myself in it and not go forward with my own personal purpose. Now, that had to come from somewhere. So I started looking, of course, at our you know, puritanical roots and all of the beliefs around sexuality and where did we get them. Of course, they're all ingrained from religion, and we carry at a cellular level the sum total of all experience on this planet, and certainly in this lifetime, we're here to heal it and clear it. So in looking at that and in all the clients I have, I really started examining what's going on. Well, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because there's a couple of things I wanted to throw in here. I've had male clients who have said to me, is it wrong I go onto a porn site just to get off? And, you know, my immediate response was, you know, as long as you don't feel shame about doing it, I would say no, absolutely not. If you have the desire rather than depressing or repressing it, do what you need to do. Even Lazarus, you know, who some of you may know about, a great spiritual teacher, has talked about the fact that if you go into the shadow in any area of your life, don't repress it. Go and do it, but no longer than about 20 minutes. You know, if you're sitting around doing it all day, you may want to look at that. You're out of balance.
Mm.
So, you know, I looked at Europe. Well, Europeans are not nearly as hung up as we are. You know, we have a bosom fetish. We have all kinds of problems. You know, you go to Europe, they've got, you know, nude beaches. I mean, they're much more comfortable with their sexuality than we are as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, they accept it, don't they? They accept it as a natural function of the body.
That's exactly it. They accept it as a natural function. Now, our roots in this country, being puritanical, and any of us, certainly anybody in the listening audience tonight, grew up in a family, generally speaking, where, you know, there were certain things. You didn't show your body. You didn't have sex before marriage. You know, most everybody did, but, you know, it was considered taboo. And, of course, the word slut, whore, you know, loose, I mean, we can go through all of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've all grown up with those judgments about what was a good girl and what wasn't. You know, what, and men, on the other hand, you know, we all know about this double standard. And so someone made a comment to me about the fact that, you know, I thought it was an interest, it was a telling comment, that the women in porn films, it was a word that was used, and it really struck me, it was skanky. And
skanky?
Skanky. It's kind of the dark side of sexuality.
Right.
And it was threatening to this person in that she was working on a very sacred union. It certainly wasn't a celibate union by any stretch of the imagination. But it was feeling contaminated because of the duality where they were watching the porn and then making love together. Another woman, a wonderful woman, you know, was talking about the fact that she's very psychic and that she could actually hear her partner's fantasies during their sexual union. And she was having difficulty with that. Now, most people listening out there probably are not having that experience. But I talked to a really phenomenal healer about this who worked 31 years doing multiple sessions every day. And he's a male. And I said, well, if men have sexual fantasies every 15 seconds to 2.5 minutes, so we're dealing with...
Is this true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I'm not going to say all men, because there are a lot of men who've worked on themselves who channel those energies differently.
Right.
They channel them differently. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't have fantasies, but again, I think that people do have fantasies and don't talk about them. And if they consider themselves to be on a spiritual path and they have the fantasies, shame. Now, we start getting shamed a lot of times right in the womb, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When we dirty our diapers, when we start playing with ourselves. And, you know, small children, you've raised them, Veronica.
Yep.
They have a natural sexual curiosity.
Yeah.
And they don't consider what they're doing to be shameful. And it's not. parents make it shameful. Now, most people don't have the ability to access those memories. So, another piece of this in dealing with clients, and this has come up, is, and I found this really interesting, the children of ministers, the wives of these people, and their experiences with having sexuality repressed and how they acted them out in their lives. Now, this can include incest. I mean, I've actually had these experiences with incest and twisted sexuality and so on. You can't shove it into your shadow. You can't suppress it and repress it. So the question is, where do we go with it? Now, you know, I may bring up more questions tonight than I do answers, but I think it's something that we all need to look at because it's on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Rock, whom I would assume most of you know, is a great comedian. And in one of his stand-up performances, I'm going to quote him, and he was talking about porn, hiding porn, and he said, every man has some porn hidden in his crib, okay, that nobody knows about. And I started thinking about that, and I thought, again, you know, the suppressed part of sexuality, which goes to masturbation. Men watch this when they masturbate. They're not watching it, or they may, you know. Now, I know couples, you know, and if you're participating in this and this is something stimulating, again, I'm not trying to create shame here. I want to bring this out into the open because they've served it up to me at every direction, so I couldn't miss it.
Hmm.
And I think it's a very big piece, a very big piece, and the shadow around sexuality. So, you know, I started looking at I know this girl, and she had two children. And the little boy was actually looking up inside of the little girl. Now, they were small. And it was, and you didn't say anything? And she said, no, it's natural curiosity. And it just didn't even think about it. And I thought, well, that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful. I mean, it didn't get out of hand. It was just curiosity. But our response has been so ingrained in this society of what's appropriate and what's not. So we've got this pendulum swing now to desensitize. You know, we went through this in terms of blending races, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last week. It wasn't long ago before you know, when we would see people of mixed color together, and it was not acceptable in society. Today, you see, you don't think anything of it. I see this happening with sexuality. Unfortunately, and I want to go back to this, the frequencies are raising on the planet. So what does that do?
Well, I want to go back to something you said, which was desensitizing sex. And I'm confused. Well, I guess what I see is that there's this amazing subconscious flow that we're all running through our psyches at some level.
Yes.
About sexuality and all the distortions and the power issues that have gone on with that.
Absolutely.
And the patriarchy and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes when I watch it lately, I remember many years ago they'd say about advertising, sex sells. And now it's like, it's all gone so far that I think the freedom in the 60s and all that, the freedom of sexual behavior, the freedom to have sex, has gotten into some kind of a rapacious, everybody's got to have tons and tons of it at a young age. It's like a jail. It's almost like a jail sentence. It's kind of weird. And I keep wondering, what is the outcome? What is the desensitization going to give us in the form of consciousness? I've actually phrased that for the last month or two.
Okay. It's a great question, Veronica. And I'm going to give a piece here, and we can kind of kick this one around. As the frequencies are raising on the planet, because it's more than one thing going on.
Right, that's for sure.
All right. When I do sessions on people, I give this as a case in point, and they encounter the frequencies of the beings that come in to work on them.
Mm-hmm.
They feel it. Many people feel it. in a sexual way because it hits that second chakra. So that frequency stimulates the second chakra. Now, the whole planet is raising in vibration. So that second chakra is getting more and more stimulated. Without direction, okay, it can act out on the dark side or it can act out on the light side. Huge creativity or distorted sexuality. At the same time, the overabundance of it creating a desensitization to compensate for all of the puritanical programming that's been on the planet. Busting out of that whole religious dogmatic repression.
Right.
So I see it coming from more than one direction. Now,
back to the Hawaiian Islands hundreds and hundreds of years ago, eh? When people used to be naturally very flowing with their sexuality, that would be nice.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, except that we still have the other energies, competition.
That's right.
And shame. The competition, and these young girls are starting out so very young.
I know, it's like 10 years old.
Yes, exactly. And the pressure on them to give oral sex, this is actually a pressure within their peer group.
I know, it's terrible.
So,
and then they say they don't have sex. They just smile at you.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Well, sometimes the kids will say, well, I don't ever have sex. But what they mean is they have oral sex, but they don't call it that. They just say they're still virgins, you know.
Well, again, this is the split of, first of all, it's sexual activity without intimacy.
Right.
All right? And the avoidance of intimacy. Now, I want to talk here about masturbation because I think it's an important piece.
Okay.
Women, now, of course, the advent of the vibrator. So it's more in certainly the program Sex in the City. These issues are now coming again. They're being served up to us in exaggerated ways.
Right. Almost an advertisement for it, huh?
Absolutely. Now, I really want to go here for a moment with also, and I don't want to forget this segment of gay men.
Okay.
And gay men are totally uninhibited sexually. I mean, they, and again, the dark and the light side of it, there are many really wonderful unions, and on the flip side of that, there is the dark side of it where there's a lot of S&M, not that there isn't in heterosexual sex, but it definitely is, within that culture, it is very prevalent. It doesn't mean that all gay men are into it, and I don't want to ever say that. So, why are we afraid of intimacy? What is it about this? I mean, obviously, with what the young people are doing, lacks intimacy. It's sexual experimentation.
I think it's following a fashion sometimes, even if you don't want to.
Well, I think that's part of it, but I also believe why has it come about? What is pushing this forward? And I do believe that these younger people are, you know, they're running a higher frequency. They're coming in. They're doing things, again, as I see it, as the desensitization over it, trying to move it out of shame.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
So I want to talk about, first of all, what I really believe is that this is also pointing to the lack of integration of masculine and feminine. And I think that there is a lot of fear and shame around that, a lot of rage. I see women denying their masculine because of their rage at the masculine, the male chauvinistic paradigm, the oppression, and this is planetary now and cellular, and rage at God, and pushing away their masculine. And I see men who are afraid to embrace their feminine because they don't know what to do with that. You know, the, all of the names, it's sissy, it's wussy, it's, you know, what are you, a wimp?
Right.
And of course, it's showing up in terms of disease. And I see this, again, in the work that we do. It's showing up in prostate. Look at the prevalence of prostate problems erectile dysfunction on this planet.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And fertility.
Well, again, that goes back to the feminine side, the loss of ovaries, uterus, breasts, and infertility. Exactly.
Right.
So we have it showing up in a critical part there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing up everywhere. Prostate cancer, uterine cancer, ovarian cancer, breast cancer. Rejecting the feminine, rejecting the masculine.
Or even just feeling disempowered by either of those situations. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's... Absolutely. There's an interesting... You know, when I've worked with highly sexual women who run their sexuality in a way where men are almost threatened by it, almost afraid of being devoured by it, and... It's interesting because there's a painting of a vagina with teeth. And this is actually in the mass consciousness, the fear that men have of being devoured, eaten by the feminine. And again, this is coming out of the repression of the feminine, moving in now to the embodiment of the feminine, really taking back their power. So what does that do to men? As I said in the beginning of the show, this may be creating more questions than answers. But it's also, because of the energies coming into everyone's home right now, or office, wherever you are, stirring up within everybody, looking at your own issues around sexuality and shame. You know, how much was laid on you, imprinted on you by your family,
mm-hmm.
by society, by religion, by your own fears. You know, in my case, you know, how do I handle this and still be spiritual? That's a whole other piece. Spirituality and sexual versus sexuality, which is still... In the mass consciousness, can you be both?
Right.
And of course, the answer is yes. But the denial of sexuality and the belief that you have to deny it in order to be spiritual is something that's still in the psyche.
Hmm.
And that if you go against that, that it can throw you into shame because a spiritual person wouldn't do this. And where does it go? Right into the shadow.
It's pretty fascinating. Well, I just want to throw this other side in, too. If people want a spiritual union, there is a possibility through having sex that people lose a lot of, well, they lose their ego if they're really into that release, right? There's a kind of a death there at times. You read about that in literature, right? Which is pretty scary.
Okay.
That's the poetic form.
The poetic, and I absolutely agree with you, Veronica. And there is a way, consciously, and we do a lot of chakra work. That's, as I've said before, kind of the cornerstone. It's become the cornerstone of this work. And lots of people on the planet are doing all kinds of work with the chakras. I know you are as well, Veronica.
Yes.
We're finally understanding that the chakras are the key to the expansion, to the connection. They are the windows, the doorways to all experience. And the moving of energy, now this is intimacy, whether you're masturbating or in the sexual act itself, of literally moving the energies up through the chakras with the intention of having a full body orgasm.
Hmm.
And I can tell you, I've done it, and I can tell you that once you've been there, you settling for anything less is kind of silly. I think the other part, and even when masturbating, the energy of an orgasm is so powerful. It's the closest thing to being reunited with your source. It's what literally was imprinted in to create a driving force for our reproduction of all species.
There's something interesting there, because it's just like, depends who's talking about what. Because I'm just chuckling, because I remember Gloria Steinem, after all the fuss she made about everybody needs to learn to have their orgasms and so on, she said years later, I wonder what I was talking about, and I was just talking about spasms. And I'm chuckling going, yeah, it's just like how people take that kind of information. It's the ones that are driven for that spiritual realization and that ascendancy that will appreciate what you're saying, right?
Well, I think another piece of this, and I want to go back to the masturbation, Veronica, because this is important. In masturbating, whether it's male or female, directing your orgasm has incredible power. And as a species, we really haven't understood that. But you can direct your orgasm, whether you're masturbating or in union, to a specific purpose, healing the earth, more healing for yourself, whatever it may be. And those energies are exponential, and they're not being directed.
Right.
And again, whether you're masturbating or you're... Now, where I see a conflict is if you're masturbating to a porn movie and then directing your... I don't know if you can make that consciousness shift. If you can, God bless you. I mean, I have no judgment on this. I'm really trying to be very much a clinician with this subject because I think it's so important to bring up. And because they have directed me this way, it's part of the lifting of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of our shame is focused around our sexuality.
Right.
You know, the other problem I see, Veronica, is that people are so busy today that the pressures build, and they just need, some people just need to, excuse the expression, get off. Let's do it quick. I'll pop in a porn movie and I'm done.
Right.
Okay? The shortcut to sexuality. You know, let's just do it. Fit it into
life.
Well,
that's just using it for a release, not for ascendancy.
Exactly. Doing it for a release. Now, I don't want to create more shame for people and say, well, if you do it any other way than sacred union, shame on you. That's not the case. It's about becoming conscious with what we're doing and why. And when we're conscious, the chances of creating shame diminish drastically. Drastically. Now, are men more driven by primal desire than women? Ronnie, I'll pose this one to you.
I think it depends on the man, but probably I'd say yeah. I would tend to say yes.
Okay.
But I know people on both sexes that are opposite of that.
Well, I do as well. I would agree with that.
And sometimes that just is simply a result of experience, isn't it? I don't know if there's a simple answer to that, Jackie.
Oh, I don't think there's a simple answer, but I think historically that has been the case.
Hmm.
I mean, if we go back one generation, Veronica, let's go back to your parents and my parents, okay?
They didn't have sex, did they?
Well, when we were growing up, we didn't want to believe they had sex. That's how hung up we were. And, you know, which again, I think points to how quickly things are evolving.
Right.
And coming out of the closet to be looked at. When you have the light and dark staring at you the way it is right now, something's afoot.
Mm-hmm.
In a very big way. In a very big way. Now, I want to say this, you know, for everyone who's sexually active that's listening tonight, there are times when you just want to have sex.
Right.
I still remember those. And it can be fun, and it can be a game, and I want to bring this up too around sexuality and power. what I find interesting, Ronnie, I don't know if you've run into this with any of your clients, but with a very powerful woman, again, not a blanket statement, I won't say all, but in many cases, very powerful women actually fantasize about being dominated by a man.
Oh, really? No, I haven't experienced that yet.
I have run into this so many times, and I find it fascinating. So these are things working at the subconscious level. These are things working. They're there. They're there. I think that, again, we are going back to the balancing of the masculine and feminine. Women are exhibiting incredible... I know women on the planet right now who are so incredibly powerful. I know some who are unbelievably powerful and incredibly feminine. And I know some who are incredibly powerful, have femininity, and yet have that edge, that sexual edge to them. I know one that carries, she literally has her bag of toys, you know.
Good for her.
Now, you know, again, when it's so overt, when it is such a drive, you know, how much control is involved there? Are we trying to control through our sexuality? You know, be we a woman or a man? Are we, you know, going to that other extreme where we're trying to control the other person through sex? Or are we really seeking union? And more importantly, you know, where have we put our shame and our guilt around sexuality? And I'll bring this up. I was pregnant at 16. I got pregnant intentionally because I was living in foster homes, which is a whole other story. But I got, and I was shamed beyond belief about my pregnancy. And I carried that for so many years. I had failed, you know, I had failed my purpose. I was, you know, automatically assumed to be a slut. You know, nobody cared whether or not, you know, this was the only person I'd had sex with. They didn't care. It
right.
was an automatic in school in those days that you, if you got pregnant, you were a slut.
Did you think there was going to be repression about it when you got pregnant? Did you expect the judgment?
Well, interestingly enough, Veronica, I was 16, I actually felt separated from God. I felt like I couldn't pray anymore. Now, how interesting is that? That I had broken such a strong tenet of spirituality that I had separated myself. Now, the shame that I received from other people paled in comparison for what I experienced in terms of my relationship with God.
But you weren't feeling ashamed, were you?
Yes, because my relationship with God, what I call God, my father, mother, God, which is because of the way I grew up, that was always my source. I lived in 13 foster homes, so I didn't really have that as a source in terms of a real mother, father. So that, for me, the loss of that was greater than anything. Now, I came back to terms with it eventually, but, you know, did I feel the shame from the world? Well, in those days, you couldn't go to school and be pregnant, so I could no longer go to school. I had to finish my education elsewhere. So I was kind of pulled out of...
Did you finish it at home, or...?
I went to school, went to a college to finish it. But it was different. You know, it was after I had my baby. But nevertheless, there was tremendous shame attached to that. And today, you see it all the time. It's not, we don't lay that kind of shame on young people today like they used to. Having sex before marriage was considered incredibly shameful when I grew up. It just wasn't something you did, and yet I knew plenty of people that did it and pretended not to. You know.
Oh, yeah. Those are the days.
Yes, those were the days.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's let's just kick around here for a minute, and folks, you're welcome to call in if you desire. Where do we go with this now in terms of letting it be okay and not judging ourselves, not going into shame, not sticking it into the shadow to be forever lost?
When you say sticking it into the shadow, it then just becomes a part of the pulsing of the subconscious, right?
Yes.
The drives.
Yes, and also this place where you put these things that you think are terrible and stick them down there and leave them there, and you don't want to look at them. And this becomes something that haunts you. It impacts you. You're automatically less than. You're walking. It's still shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's shame. It makes you unworthy of creating the life you want and having everything you want.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Sorry?
The collective itself is moving this too, right? I mean, that's what's beginning to happen in the whole world, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
We're talking about America right now.
Well, we're talking about America, but I mean, we see the extremes being played out in the rest of the world.
You bet.
We see in the Middle East, the Muslims, the women that have to cover themselves, that men feel if they see any part of a woman, it's too tempting.
Right.
It can take them away from their spirituality. I mean, here we are, you know, in that arena, and it's extreme.
You know what? I would think that there would be men would have more sexual fantasies when the women are just peeking out of veils and so on and being sensual that way than when they're
exactly
stark naked with everything showing.
The forbidden fruit.
Yeah. And the sensual movements and so on.
And we're moving away from the forbidden fruit because it's in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
That's why these young people are wearing clothes that leave nothing to the imagination. Okay?
Yeah.
It is no longer, well, it's becoming, it's moving. That movement is afoot of taking it out of forbidden fruit.
Oh, good. There's a caller.
Yes. Good evening.
Hello?
Hello? Who are we speaking with?
Hello?
Hello?
Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Jackie and Veronica?
Yes.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I'm listening to your show, and I find it fascinating. I knew that you had brought up the possibility of talking about sexual repression as far as the gay question for men, but what about the gay question for women? I mean, that's very repressed as well. That's one thing I wanted to say, that's still out there also. But the second question I have is, could you please speak about the Kundalini experience? I'm still in the dark about that.
Okay.
A good question.
Yeah, I would first of all, let's talk about the Kundalini experience.
Okay.
Tantric yoga is a wonderful place to go. You can pull up all kinds of articles on the web about Kundalini and raising the energy up through your chakras. And it takes practice, but you can do it. The frequencies of the planet right now support that. If you're doing any kind
okay,
of chakra,
I can barely hear you. What did you say?
Okay. I said, you can go on the computer and search Kundalini.
Okay.
And there's all kinds of articles available to you there, all kinds of resources and books about learning how to move energy through your chakras.
Is that what you're talking about this evening, directing your
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sexual experience?
Veronica, I can't hear her. Did you hear
her? She asked if that's what we were talking about this evening, but it's not quite, is it? We were talking about how sexual shame is kind of built into our cellular structure, and we're trying to move it out, and there's a desensitization of the old sexual mores and limitations going on and where it's all leading to.
You touched on this subject in terms of sacred unions and taking sexuality to a new level in terms of moving it through to potential for a full body orgasm. And
that's a very interesting concept for me. I would really like to experience that, of course, but as I'm in a fabulous, wonderful, reunited experience through past lifetimes, I'm sure I'm with a partner that we chose this time to come together as lovers. We were not before. but now we are. And
well, that's wonderful. And again, I
and
would...
And so, you know, our a spiritual relationship came way before any sexual union. But now, you know, I'm really interested in how this can all come about as far as, you know, ascension and as far as the Kundalini experience. And now you're talking about this directed, you know, sexual expression for health and for, you know, a continued relationship that would be even, you know, greater.
Again, I would recommend that you go out to the web and search for Kundalini sexual experiences. There's a ton of material out there and
great
books that you can pick up and read. And we'll definitely go into also, you know, the repression as well in the gay lesbian relationship.
Right.
And I do know lesbian couples that are madly in love, having wonderful experiences.
Oh yeah.
Yes. And again, we're moving away from our judgments about what works and what doesn't.
Exactly.
I mean, the universe does not look in and judge whether or not you're with another woman, a same-sex partner, or another sex partner.
Exactly.
So our judgments really need to move away from that end of it. People are very quick to judge experience that they don't understand.
Right.
And as a race, we are evolving, and it's going to show up in all kinds of ways.
Well, I want to thank you for your time and for helping me make that distinction of what you're talking about.
Well,
and
wonderful.
Thank you so much for
addressing
the
show.
Thank you for your call.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye, honey.
Well,
I think that brings up, and really I should have had some recommendations on the Kundalini experience and sexuality, but I know there's a lot of material out there. So if people have curiosity about that, if you're doing any kind of chakra work, and I know if any of my clients listen, you are, on a regular basis, it is really a practice of moving the energy and intention, setting the intention of moving the energy up through the body, up through the chakras. And your partner, and I can speak to this one very directly, it requires both of you to be very much in tune in this and both of you to be working with your chakras. I've been with a partner where I could consciously raise the energy up, and what would happen to my partner is that they would get severe cramps.
Yeah, so, charming.
Yeah, debilitating cramp. And as we were moving the energy up from the second chakra up, immediately he would start to cramp up. I don't want to get too far off subject here tonight, but just as an aside.
Well, that brings me to this, that we were talking about desensitization of all the old sexual limitations, inhibitions, and so on. But what we're talking about here with the Tantra Kundalini stuff and brain orgasms or vocal body orgasms is an actual increased sensitization, isn't it?
It's focused.
Yeah, that's it.
It's focused. It's taking that energy and directing it instead of splattering it all over, where, again, Veronica, and to everybody listening tonight, with the frequencies raising on the planet, and if you're doing a lot of spiritual work, for some people that aren't, for people who are being highly creative out there, and I see this all the time with people who are highly creative in their career, they're incredibly sexual.
Hmm.
Not all, again, I hate to ever make a blanket statement, but my encounters have been very much that way.
Hmm. Me too, actually.
Okay. So the directing is going to get greater. I mean, where I really want to go with this tonight is the frequencies are going to continue to raise. And as the frequencies raise, this energy is going to start showing up in its extremes. If you're consciously directing it, the personal experiences you can have by yourself and with a partner can be absolutely exquisite and enlightening. Like a white light experience, which, you know, somebody once described it to me as a thousand orgasms, the white light experience.
Mm.
And so we can take this to a higher level. Now, I'm going to go back to the movie Cocoon, because I think this is a great example. In that movie Cocoon, there was an extraterrestrial being and this young man who drove the boat in the water, in the pool. And she did an exchange of energy with him. This is how they had sex. And this is actually not far at all from the absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he was blown away. As we move into, it's not going to happen tomorrow, and it's not going to happen in 10 years, but eventually we will move to a point where we will not engage in the sexual act. We won't need to. We'll be exchanging energy.
Mm.
So,
or sharing energy.
Sharing. Mm. There you go.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Well, but the increase in these energy, I mean, I work in this energy all day, every day, and I can tell you that when I get on the table myself, my second chakra lights up, and it is just short of, okay, an actual orgasm. That's how much I feel the energy.
Hmm.
And now, you know, I do this all the time, so I'm working in these frequencies all the time. But it is definitely, I have clients, and this is very funny, where the beings will go to see them prior to a session. Or if they've already encountered and had sessions, there's one particular being that goes to visit. And the men swear that the beings are having sex with them. Well, of course they're not. There's one man, not a lot of men. But what's happening is you're coming up against those frequencies, and where you feel it first is in your second chakra.
Mm.
And the whole purpose of union, moving the energy up through the chakras, is exactly that, to be able to bring these frequencies in and move them up through the total body so that you're experiencing them on all levels. I'll give it case in point. When I started doing this work, the energies, when I sit in my chair, they literally start running up my legs, and they would run up, and they stop at about my second chakra.
Hmm.
Now, they go up my whole body. Now, did they always go up my whole body? Of course they did. But I didn't feel them. Now, they swirl around in my crown chakra, and my crown lights up, and they're all over my throat, and it's sitting in all my chakras, because my chakras are tuned up and tuned in enough that I can feel them.
Hmm.
But
how does that feel? Ecstatic?
That's exactly how it feels, Veronica. Okay. It's an ecstatic experience for me. And, you know, I mean, I could actually say to you, I'm turned on all the time. But I'm also tuned in. There's a difference. But that is the goal. That's where we're going, for that to become a way of life.
Hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't even consider taking a stimulant because I am so high all the time anyway.
Nice. This is wonderful.
What?
This is wonderful.
Oh, it's absolutely thrilling. And I don't like to hold myself out as separate, but I know this is where we're all going. This is the whole ascension activation. This is where we can go with it. It's a choice. And the goal is to do it without shame.
Because of shame, and I'm just thinking about frequencies on a collective level and on an individual level.
Mm-hmm.
And shame is a very thick, it's a low frequency motion, isn't it, in the body mind?
I will tell you the difference. And a man wrote this book, and we'll bring it up in next week's show. And he broke it down into frequencies and how the body did it through kinesiology with a machine, and how the frequencies changed in the body. How shame vibrated at 20.
Is this power versus force?
I don't know what it came out of.
Yeah.
It was shame vibrated. Somebody sent it to me. Shame vibrated at a rate of 20, and love vibrated at a rate of 200.
Yeah.
If you're carrying a lot of shame, what's going to happen is you're going to you're going to drop your overall frequency no matter how loving you are.
Right. And your love isn't the dominant radiance then at all.
No, it can't be, because you have a mitigating force coming in, which is the lower frequency of shame. If you're loaded with shame, you can love and forgive and so on and so forth. If you haven't lifted the shame, you can't get that frequency up.
It's very interesting, isn't it? So, again, the ascension process is asking us to pull out that shame that really impedes our sexual enjoyment and sexual sharing.
And it's not just sexuality, but this week's show really started with, I mean, I love it. They jump right into the base emotion.
Well, we're all driven by sexuality.
Yes, we are.
In whether it's obvious or not, whether it's repressed or expressed, right?
Well, and it drives jealousy and competition and guilt and feelings of less than, and we can go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, before the show is over, what, 1 minute from the end here. We have a caller?
Yeah.
Sexual enjoyment.
Hello? Hello, you're on the air.
I wanted to make a comment.
Yes.
Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Veronica and Jackie?
Okay, hi, Veronica, because I can hear you guys talking on the computer. I didn't know if you were...
Yeah,
I don't hear myself.
What's your name?
Marilyn.
Oh, hi, Marilyn.
Hey, Jackie.
Oh, hi, Marilyn. How are you?
I was calling in with a couple of things. One thing is there's a great book called Kundalini and the Chakras.
Oh, good. Kundalini and the Chakras?
By Genevieve Paulson.
Okay.
It's a relatively old book. But it's a good book on the Kundalini for the girl who had asked about that.
Genevieve whom?
Paulson.
Got it.
And the other thing I wanted to say is, you know, like for years I've been shown about bringing the sexuality up to the heart chakra. And, you know, it's easy to practice that in meditation by yourself or to send that through your whole body eventually. But when you start to join with a partner in that, if they haven't done the same practice, it can really take your frequency all the way back down into the gutter.
Thank
and one
you.
Of the things that they had shown me was that if we can both eventually raise our frequencies, that the love, that the third energy that generates from that, and the love that generates from that, that we can actually feed the earth with it.
Wow.
And
exactly.
I was shown that, you know, you can, you know, like hold, like, the land or the forest or the trees. I used to do it with my property by myself, but they showed me that it's like so the third, you know, when the two energies come together, that the energy is so much bigger and huger, and that it, you know, how you can create health in your own body by moving your Kundalini energy through it.
Yes.
That we can actually feed the earth like that.
Wonderful.
And offer it energy for healing.
Beautiful.
Well, that's
Marilyn,
sure
thank
sense.
You for that. We're at the end of the show.
I know.
So we need to sign off. Thank you so much, Marilyn. It's always thrilled to talk to you because I know what a phenomenal healer you are.
All right. Well, I was listening to you and everybody was like, where are we going with this? And that was just one thing I wanted to share.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Marilyn. Much love to you.
All right. Love
thank
to you.
Thank you for
too.
Your call.
All right, end of the show. Veronica, your website, please.
www.veronicaentwistle.com.
And mine, of course, sweet and simple, ethealing.com. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Again, the sacred dispensation coming. I don't know whether it's a week or 2 weeks or three. Tune in next week, and I'm sure we're going to have another exciting subject. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, Jackie.
Good night, Ron.